What? I was just having fun with you.
And the baseball. I told you. Yeah, and I thought I'd come in and tell you a sports story, and okay. Maybe you can talk about it on the air later on if you want to.
Well, we don't have much of a choice.
Earlier in the program, I heard on radio TV that y'all were talking, and that Dale Hansen had gotten a resolution passed honoring him down there in the Texas House.
Yeah.
I thought I'd come in and tell you a Dale Hansen story.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a lot of those.
There's two kinds of people. People who love hearing Dale Hansen stories and people who are not Dale Hansen. So this one's for Dale. I know people think that Dale Hansen is wild and likes to party, and he had kind of this good time Charlie image and all that.
Yeah.
But I just want to tell you the truth, because I've known Dale very closely for many, many years.
You have?
Yes, and I just want to say that, seriously, there is no one that will ever live, or whoever has lived or will live, that will ever be able to party as hard as Dale Hansen. The rumors are true.
Wow, okay.
They're true. He knew how to party. Now, he has slowed down a lot.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I heard recently that his annual gambling losses have dipped way into the five figures. Way on down there. But I also hear that his daily alcohol consumption is something he and his wife only argue about three times a day.
Okay. Oh my gosh. He probably doesn't want this aired.
Yeah, in 1998, we had an epic night.
What happened?
Oh, Lord. Well, we started out at Louie's Bar.
Yeah, he went
Dale
there a lot.
Always loved drinking there. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we were doing shots of whiskey out of the belly button of George Reba, who did not drink and was there against his will at gunpoint for Dale.
Just to be a shot glass?
Yeah, just where he did, because Dale liked the concept of body shots. Yeah! So we do about 40 of those off of George Reba, and he runs out to his Corolla that he was in.
Oh, bingo.
Trying to put his shirt back on with tears streaming down his face.
Oh, gosh.
But anyway, we did about 40 body shots off of George Reba. And then we go into – Dale turns to me and says, "Hey, Clarence, come on with me into the men's room. Come on. Huh. What's going on here?" Yeah. Because the men's usually don't go to the restroom together like the women's do.
Right.
So Dale takes me in there, and he goes on up ahead of me into the stall and says, "Clarence, come in here." And by the time I get in there, he's snorting some sort of white powdery substance off the toilet tank.
Come on.
And I say, "Dale, you do the cocaine?" And he said, "Clarence, this ain't cocaine. It's powdered sugar. I'm pre-diabetic, and my wife won't let me have sugar at home.
So
I got to do this out here."
Never heard of that.
So he's snorting that sugar and everything. And then I breathe a sigh of relief. I'm just like, well, good. At least I'll just be on dialysis and not anymore, doing the cocaine.
Yeah.
So I tell him that. I say, "Hey, I'm glad to hear it's powdered sugar." Well, then he pulled out a bag of real cocaine and hooked up a wet dry vac hose to his nose and dangles the other end into the Ziploc. And he hauls off and does that whole bag of cocaine.
Goodness.
And I'm talking about, this was like, five times the amount of Lynn Bias killer. This is a lot of cocaine.
Full throttle.
Anyway, so then Dale punches through the wall into the women's restroom and announces that he's going to live forever. Screams that to the women in there. And, of course, they're screaming and all that. And we go back out into the bar, and, of course, it was Dale, so you know his deal at bars. He insists everyone's shirtless. We're all sitting there shirtless.
Didn't know that.
And, lo and behold, as is usual, turned out he had the biggest rack in the place. In fact, a lot of SMU sorority girls are in there on fake IDs. No, I'm teasing. They don't do that.
No, they wouldn't.
No, not in that place. No. Sure. But anyway, then we just go outside. Now, the bartender chased him down because they're real responsible about it, and they don't let Dale, after doing 40 body shots off of George Reba, they don't want him to drive. They insist they get his keys from him.
Okay.
Dale protests, and they get into a big argument, and there's a wrestling match, and they flew through a plate glass window, double bingo. And they did that, and then they fell into a tiger cage, and then they wrestled out of that, and then up against a china cabinet. It was a whole deal. But eventually, they get the keys away from Dale.
Yeah.
Dale gives them to him, says, "All right, fine, here." Throws him the keys and walks out the bar. So I walk out after him. I'm thinking, we're going to get a cab or whatever, and Dale reaches down into his pocket, pulls out his keys, and we both hop in his Mercedes and leave. And I'm like, Dale, how'd you do that? And he goes, oh, I always bring 4 or 5 sets of fake keys.
Oh, God.
That's just the way he did it, you know.
That's back in the day.
Back in the day. You could get away with 4 or 5 sets of fake keys back in the day.
Yeah.
So then we headed across town, and I'm like, Dale, where are we going? He goes, hey, I want to show you this place. So we go in this kind of seedier section of town and everything, and go by this apartment complex. It looks real run down, real sketchy.
Yeah.
And he pulls out a gun and just starts firing into this this apartment complex
as we're
going by it, right at this end unit. There's one particular unit there at the end and everything. I said, what's that? And they go, oh, that's Deucey's place.
God.
You did a drive-by at Deucey's place?
I said, man, why'd you do that? He said, it's just a prank. I said, you sportscasters, we do this all the time, you know, prank each other and everything. And I look back and there a bleeding Deucey comes staggering out, bloody hairpiece in hand, and screams a big thank you to Dale. And,
thank you.
Yeah, says he yells out, I'm just glad you know who I am. So he's very thankful to be able to receiving in bullets from Dale Hansen.
So it was a great prank.
So then we drove out into the country, and Dale, I'm always, that's what I'm always doing. I'm just always following after Dale.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen next.
Right.
We drive way on out into the country. I mean, it's dark out there. Can't see a thing. There ain't a place, a building anywhere, miles around, and Dale, he trudges through the mud and the muck and the grass, and he's leading me out into this wooded area, and I'm out in the wooded area, and I'm saying, Dale falls down to his knees, and he's got tears in his face.
Oh, gosh.
I say, Dale, where are we? And he says, oh, man, I don't want to get into it. This is just where she is now. And I'm
my God.
Whatever. That did not happen.
I was like, what's going on? Right? Turns out he had to put down a family dog a long time ago.
Okay.
I didn't know what it's time. He didn't tell me that 2 years later.
He's left you hanging on that one.
Left me hanging on that one. Anyway, so we drive back to a bar in Fort Worth, and he met a guy there who delivered him a sack of pictures taken of Scott Murray in compromising situations. I said, well, Dale, why you need these and everything? And I just, you know, collateral. He said, I just always like to have lots of collateral on people. So anyway, then we drove back into Dallas, and he's going to drop me off, you know, near my car and everything. I had sobered up at this point. Dale had kept going the whole time. I tell you what, he always has a roadie with him, if you know what I'm saying.
Should not have been driving.
No, not driving. And then we drops me off in my car, and right there he sees a kitten. And he picks it up, and with his bare hands, he did.
All right.
Yeah, it was horrible,
so
man. I said, why'd you do that? It wasn't suffering. And he said, well, it would eventually.
God.
I was like,
do
okay.
Something
he
like
said,
that.
He said, he just sending me a message to keep quiet about this. And he made me promise. That whole kitten thing, that was to make me be quiet. And he said, you can tell this story after I retire.
Okay.
And
wow.
That's why I'm here to tell you that story.
It took a while to get there.
Go ahead and use it in your Sunday school class if you want to. Come on down to the boiler room. I just made a fresh batch of haystacks.
Oh, okay. Great. We'll be right there.
Yeah.